Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's time for a look back on today's match. This is the Full Time Report with the voices of our Atlanta United, Mike Conti and Jason Longshore.
Atlanta United are brought to you by Piedmont Quick Care. One stop to better. Country Financial. Don't get overwhelmed. Get started at TakeSimpleSteps.com. Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing. Heineken, Aaron's, the perfect choice for your budget and style with top brands in furniture, electronics, and appliances. Scana, the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. AT&T, more for your thing. That's our thing. Associated Credit Union, Equifax, proud partner of your Atlanta United and your local Ford dealer.
The home for MLS in Atlanta. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
68,046 fans here at Mercedes-Benz Stadium tonight. Most of them going home unhappy as Atlanta United gives up three unanswered goals to Columbus Crew in the second half, and they've lost back-to-back league matches for the first time since late May. 3-1, they fall to the Crew tonight. Joseph Martinez with a goal in the 19th minute. Jozy's Artist in the 53rd off a rebound. Luis Diaz in the 60th minute. And then Miles Robinson, an own goal in the 86th minute to give Columbus the 3-1 win. We have our eyes on a couple matches in progress right now that we will keep you up to date on. Philadelphia and LAFC, 1-1 in the 78th minute. If you're an Atlanta United fan, you are pulling for LAFC to get another goal and win that match. Cincinnati in the 80th minute, leading Montreal 1-0. If you're an Atlanta United fan, you want that score to hold right there. That would secure a playoff berth tonight for Atlanta United. And in the 80th minute, New England and Orlando are even 3-3 at Exploria Stadium. If you're an Atlanta United fan, I don't need to tell you who you are going to root for in that one, but a ton of playoff implications in that match for both teams. We will keep you up to date. Those matches will be ending in the next few minutes, and we will let you know what happens. As far as what happened here, our man of the match brought to you by Heineken. It felt like this was a match, Jason, where Leandro Gonzalez-Pires could have really, really helped Atlanta United, but he was not available. Franco Escobar had to play right center back as a result. Up and down night for him, but more good than bad, it felt.
Yeah, I think it was. He had four tackles. He won two free kicks. He was a good passer on the night, had more touches than anyone else for Atlanta United, and especially when they needed a spark, it looked like Franco was trying to find that for this team. Ultimately, not enough.
So he's our man of the match, brought to you by Heineken. Let's go downstairs. Frank DeBoer now at the podium.
Feeling that, you know, we weren't there today. I think Jeff said it, we were rusty today, and that's and we had it also the two trainings that I think, hey, yeah, the sharpness isn't there, and then you come in this kind of games that, okay, we play a very attractive system, but if you lose too many balls or you lose too many duels, yeah, you come in transition games and then it's up and down and it costs you so much energy, of course, for the opponent also. But we play more forward than the opponent. They're waiting that we're going to make those mistakes. And yeah, then they are waiting with Sardes and Diaz, you know, with the speed, and yeah, try to punish us, and they succeeded in that. But it starts with, you know, winning your duels and don't lose the balls in second phase, because when you lose in third phase, you have everybody around them and you can directly press. Now we are still open and wide. We lose the ball, yeah, and you know, your midfielders are swimming somewhere and they don't know if to press or drop back. And yeah, that was happening a lot. And still we could have drawn today, but it was not the sparkling play that we are used to, especially here in the Mercedes-Benz arena. So that was very disappointing. And yeah, we have to straighten our back and realize, hey, we have to be there from the first second on. And we were won a lot, but you're, what I already said, Doc, that We weren't there today. We were there on the pitch, but not the sparkling what we normally see.
Coach, you took off Eric Rometty. He had a tough time getting on the ball most of the game just because of what Columbus was doing, but you also brought on Dion and Tito. What did you expect to see from those changes?
Yeah, of course, you know, some new impulses. Tito with his speed. That Mullaney was not the guy who really pushes forward, so I thought the one against one with him, with Tito, could be for our advantage. With Dion, with his left feet, I thought maybe better crosses because we had a lot of crosses, but not the accuracy was there. And so, yeah, and so that's why I make those changes. And Brandon, of course, with his force and length and everything.
Chris and Sydney? New York City won earlier in the day. I was wondering if, you know, knowing that result, did that add any pressure to the team at all?
No, what I already said, you know, we had everything in our own hands. Now we don't. But, you know, if we win those six games, we are on top. That's for sure. And I think still, if we do that now, there's a good possibility. But still, it depends on the others, of course. But, I think the players, and including myself, we don't look at those results. You know, afterwards you can say, okay, it was a good day, a weekend or not. But we have to focus on ourselves, and that you see today, that's enough.
Frank, I know that you can only deal with the players that actually played today, but do you feel that maybe with Leandro in the lineup, maybe with Ezekiel in the lineup, this probably would have been a different result tonight?
You never know, you know. I think the players who play today, they also show their qualities, and so I don't search for excuses. And you know, it was not the best week, you know, and it ended like this, and we have to change that. And we have enough time to do it, and because we have to. So I'm glad that also, you know, the first game is coming quickly, so we can get our revenge a little bit. That we this was hopefully an accident.
Okay, pretty straightforward explanations from Frank DeBoer after this 3-1 loss by Atlanta United tonight to Columbus Crew. On several different occasions, Frank DeBoer mentioning that he felt his team did not train well this week, which is an interesting observation considering they had more than a full week off after the Philadelphia match before most of them regathered here in Atlanta.
I don't think it was a full week, and he mentioned a couple training sessions that felt like they didn't have it, and he said they didn't have it tonight. I would agree, they didn't. And that's the challenge sometimes with these breaks. You have some momentum going. I think they needed a break. I don't know if they needed 2 weeks of a break. I think it would have been nice if they had had just a full week to get some rest or even like a week and a half.
Yeah.
It's you lose the momentum and you lose the pace of play, and it affects you as we saw tonight.
I think we saw that in Toronto, and I understand there were some U.S. Open Cup matches during that very long international break, but we saw that in Toronto. We saw that in Columbus, although there were conditions certainly factoring into that, but that was after a long break. Atlanta United also lost that match. If you want to count the start of the season, some of the matches as they were getting ramped up, the D.C. match technically was not on long rest because they had just played against Herediano, but that's a thing that's happened with this team this year. Maybe it's a good thing that they'll get back to work quickly Wednesday night against Cincinnati. But this team does have some things to figure out, as you would expect in a match where Columbus was able to get a couple quick goals in the second half, and then Atlanta United made some very aggressive substitutions. The stats are going to be a little bit slanted towards Atlanta. 15-12 the shots in favor of Atlanta United. 5 on target for Columbus, 4 for Atlanta United. Possession was 65-35 in favor of Atlanta. 24 open play crosses for Atlanta United to 8 for Columbus. Corners were 5-4 Atlanta. Columbus 11 fouls, Atlanta with 6.
The thing that jumps out to me is the chances created. Columbus only created 8 chances. They get 3 goals out of it. Atlanta only created 10 chances with that much possession. It's not enough. It's not enough. We were seeing when this team was playing its best, creating chances in the 15, 16, 17 type of margin, even up to 20. That's what this team needs to do with that much possession. When you're missing Ezekiel Barco, when you're missing Leandro Gonzalez-Pirez, you're missing two very different things that affected the game today. Barco can control the rhythm and the pace of the game and the ups and downs in it. He knows when to slow it down. He knows when to speed it up. Leandro Gonzalez-Pirez can keep the back line organized. It felt like Miles Robinson was left on an island a lot of times tonight, not just at the end when the team was pushing forward, but Escobar and Florentin Pogba, there was no synchronicity between the three of them defensively tonight.
Well, the good news is you will get Leandro back Wednesday night in Cincinnati. I don't believe you'll get Barco back, at least in a starting role, Wednesday night in Cincinnati. And I only say that because Barco was completely out of the 18 tonight and has not been training. And usually you do need at least a couple days of training and maybe a chance to get in the 18 before you could potentially have a starting role in a match. Don't know that for sure, though, but we'll keep you posted. Okay, Philly and LAFC, 1-1 in the 87th, about to be 88th minute. Montreal still trailing Cincinnati 1-0, 88th minute there. 3-3 Orlando and New England, 89th minute there. We'll let you know how all three of those matches turn out. In fact, when we come back, I think we'll probably be able to say Atlanta United is in the playoffs. Keep sending us your questions and your comments at MikeConti929. And at Long Shoe, we'll have the highlights coming up right after this on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Back to the full-time report. The home for our Atlanta United is Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
3-1 Atlanta United falling to Columbus Crew tonight here at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. One of the more surprising results of this 2019 Atlanta United season. Still a long way to go, but Atlanta United no longer controls their own destiny in the Eastern Conference. In fact, they don't even control their destiny for a top two seed in the East because Philadelphia Union has just closed out a 1-1 draw against LAFC. New England and Orlando still even at 3, very late there. Cincinnati still leading Montreal 1-0, very late there. As soon as those matches end, we'll let you know what it all means for the entire Eastern Conference playoff race. It's been kind of fun watching these three matches end here up in the booth with good crowds at all three stadiums tonight.
It's been all kinds of controversy at the end of all of them as well.
This has been a lot of fun for the league, and this is what you want to have this time of year. Playoff races going down to the wire. They have reached full time now.
3-3.
In Orlando. 3-3, so they split the points. That really hurts the Lions. We'll get into the reasons why in a moment. Want to tell you that for each Atlanta United clean sheet this season, Atlanta United donates $2,000 to Children's Healthcare of Atlanta. This year's donation total currently $26,000. It is still possible for Brad Guzan to get that single season clean sheet record, but Atlanta United will need to get shutouts in 4 of their final 5 matches. They are now in the 9th added minute in Montreal. Before we go into the highlights, we're going to stay on until they get the full-time whistle there at Stade Saputo, because this is the match of the three that are just wrapping up that impacts Atlanta United most directly. Even if Montreal were to find a miracle equalizer at the death, this means Atlanta United is going to clinch a trip to the playoffs tonight. It's not quite the way you want to celebrate a trip to the postseason.
No celebration tonight.
No, but it looks like they're going to get it. Another significant development in this match is that Kendall Waston for Cincinnati was sent off in the 88th minute, which means he will be suspended for Wednesday night's match at Nippert Stadium. Surely that must be full-time. It is. So Cincinnati wins 1-0 at Montreal. Atlanta United has clinched a playoff berth. I want to tell you something. There are a lot of clubs in this league that have been to the playoffs way less than 3 times and have been around in this league way more than 3 years. It is a real feather in the cap for Darren Eales, Carlos Bocanegra, Frank DeBoer, and everyone who's had a part of this in the first 3 years of this club's existence, that they're going to go to the postseason for each and every year of the club's existence so far.
It's incredibly impressive. I mean, when you look at other teams around the league that are in the newer phase of expansion teams, you have plenty that have missed out on the postseason, most of them in the very beginning of their existence. Not Atlanta United. Now, tonight, this is not the performance that's going to repeat you as MLS Cup winners.
No.
You have to pick it up from here. I think, honestly, it's good that you get this now out of the way and you see that, all right, this is not good enough. We have to find that other gear that we had that we've lost.
So this is what you have in the East right now. And keep in mind, Atlanta United does have a game in hand on the leaders. But New York City on 57 points, 9 clear of Atlanta United now. They will play each other a week from Wednesday. That could be a 6-point swing. But again, New York City now is going to have to lose a match, not draw, lose a match somewhere in their last 4 other than the match to Atlanta if Atlanta United is going to have a chance at the number 1 seed. Probably the toughest match of theirs remaining is the one at Dallas. They do play Philadelphia on decision day. It might be done by then, or Atlanta United might be out of it by then. But there is a road match coming up in Dallas for New York City, so don't completely rule it out. Philadelphia now, with that draw against LAFC, moves to 52 points, 4 points clear of Atlanta United. So Atlanta United is out of control for a top 2 seed in the East. They will need help if they are to finish in the top 2 in the East. Toronto is 4th on 42 points. DC plays tomorrow. They as well are on 42 points, but they're even on games. So even if DC can get a result in Portland tomorrow, Toronto is still in relatively good shape to stay above DC. But Red Bulls hold the ticket on both of them because they have a game in hand, and they play tomorrow in Seattle. They're 1 point back. New England getting that draw now, 40 points, 7th in the East. That's the line. Montreal, Chicago, 3 points back. New England has a game in hand on both of them. Orlando now, 4 points below the line. And again, New England has a game in hand. So the big winners tonight, Philadelphia, New York City. They are the big winners tonight as far as playoff seeding and giving themselves a chance is concerned. The big loser tonight is Chicago, too, I would say. Chicago is a big winner tonight because they're 3 points below the line. The big loser tonight is Orlando because they now are in desperate trouble. They are, as I told you again, 4 points. That's more than 2 matches, 4 points below the line, and the 7th place team has a game in hand. Orlando is in bad trouble.
2 teams that hold their destiny on either end of the playoff picture. New York City finishes with 3 of their final 4 matches on the road. They go to Dallas next weekend. They come back to Yankee Stadium for the match with Atlanta United. They go to New England on the 29th, and then they go to Philadelphia on decision day. The other end of the playoff picture, New England, listen to this, what they finish up with. They host Real Salt Lake on the 21st. They go to Portland on the 25th. They come back home to face NYC on the 29th. Then they come here to Mercedes-Benz Stadium on decision day. It's a very difficult road for them as well.
Whew. Buckle up. It's going to be a lot of fun. If the playoffs were to start right now, and again, I want to acknowledge that we are not all even on games, but if the playoffs were to start right now, Atlanta United would be home here at Mercedes-Benz Stadium on October 19th, and if the playoffs were to start right now, their opponent would be the New York Red Bulls.
Oh, boy.
Now, New York does have a game in hand, by the way. If they get a point out of that game in Seattle tomorrow, then they would move to 4th. But in that 3-7 range right now, if it were to start right now, New York with a bye in the number 1 seed, Philadelphia hosting New England, Atlanta hosting Red Bulls, Toronto hosting D.C. That would be it if it started right now. Lots to play. But boy,
decision day is going to be wild.
Yeah.
With the Philadelphia NYC match, with Atlanta and New England, and this one has now become pretty big potentially, Orlando hosting Chicago.
Big time.
That could be a play-in game.
Who would have thought that?
Because Orlando, they have 2 matches on the road before they get to that, but they go to Houston and they go to Cincinnati.
Now, Houston did show that they had a pulse because Wednesday night they beat Minnesota 2-0. Cincinnati has shown now, just in time to play Atlanta, great, that they have a pulse going up to Montreal tonight.
Look at the results from teams who are out of the playoff picture, who are playing spoiler over the last week with Houston, with Cincinnati, and now with Columbus.
All right, because we have to, here are the highlights. Atlanta United scored first in the 19th minute. Joseph Martinez, and by the way, this still is being scored as Joseph's
it's
goal.
It's his goal. They're not taking it away from him.
Here it was. Guzan picks out Hyman in stride at the halfway line, who pitches it down the middle. Pithy Martinez in a race for the ball, and he'll win it now on the left side of the 18. Cross for Joseph. Score! He scored in 14 consecutive games! And Atlanta United's got the 1-0 lead. Now, I know what the TV replay shows. Watch it closely and in slow motion. When Pitti puts the cross in, it looks like Joseph gets just enough of a touch. Connor Maloney does put it in, but Joseph got a touch, and we think that's enough for Opta to see and give him the goal.
It's very difficult to say that Joseph's touch is not going to be on goal because there's just no room after it takes a touch off of Joseph and then deflects in. You're not going to take that away from him in that moment. Maloney didn't put it in by himself. He didn't get the only touch. Joseph got a touch in front of him.
Okay, 1-0 Atlanta United, 20 minutes into it, and they would have that lead at halftime, but Columbus played way better as the first half evolved. And then in the second half, they explode for two goals in a seven-minute span, minutes 53 to 60. First in the 53rd minute, Jazzy Zardes. Hyman then almost won the ball in the midfield. A player goes down. It's going to roll all the way down the left wing to Zardes. 1v1 with Miles. Zardes to the top of the 18 to Diaz, right side of the box. Shot! Save Guzan out to Zardes. Another shot! Score! And Columbus has equalized in the 53rd minute. And then 7 minutes later, they get the go-ahead goal from Luis Diaz. An awful plays ahead to a wide-open Luis Diaz. 2-on-1. Diaz's cross blocked down by Miles Robinson. Back to Diaz at the edge of the box, but Atlanta United back in shape. Diaz turns, shoots, scores! Golazo! And Columbus has taken the lead at the bend. I don't want to take anything away from Jazzy Zardes, and I don't want to take anything away from Luis Diaz, but Atlanta United was very panicky and disorganized in the back in the second half, and they got burned twice, and then the coup de grace, the Miles Robinson own goal here in the 86th minute. Pedro Santos coming down the middle now, closed down quickly by Nagby, up ahead to Diaz down the right wing. Pogba, last man back, cross to the back post, is put in for an own goal by Miles Robinson, and it's over. Columbus is going to get 3 points in Atlanta, barring a miracle comeback. First own goal against Atlanta United, by the way, since August the 23rd of 2017. Michael Parkhurst in D.C., and it went as a 3-1 finish.
Jazzy Zardes was outstanding tonight, and Jazzy Zardes showed why he gets the call-ups that he gets. And I know he's a player that seems to drive U.S. men's national team fans crazy, but he's got 5 goals in Columbus's last 6 on the road. He has shown up big for this team in difficult spots. He's got 12 goals on the season. Wasn't just the goal that he got, it was the run leading up to it. Also his hold-up play. All night long he was bringing others into the game. I thought Jazzy Zardes was very dangerous for Columbus. I thought Pedro Santos had a big game as well. When they got forward, they were dangerous. Atlanta's back line was far too disorganized. The holding midfield was far too disorganized. There were too many gaps for Columbus to exploit.
And again now, Atlanta United 15-11-3 on 48 points. We've gone through all the scenarios for you. They're third in the East. They've clinched a playoff spot. Columbus 9-15-7 on 34 points. They are 11th in the East. Atlanta United now against the bottom three teams in the league this year, 1-2-1 with a -4 goal difference. More to come in a moment. We'll take your questions and comments on Twitter right after this. Last call, send them to at Mike Conti 929 and at Longshoe as Atlanta United loses to Columbus 3-1 here on the full-time report on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Back with more full-time report
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
3-1 Atlanta United falling to Columbus Crew in one of the more baffling results of this 2019 season. Everything is better when Atlanta United wins. To date, a total of $15,000 has been donated to Piedmont Healthcare as a not-for-profit hospital system. Piedmont Healthcare relies on the generosity of donors to expand healthcare services in our community. Atlanta United, proud to be a Piedmont donor. Going to read your questions and your comments in just a second. Here's how we can best boil down Atlanta United's playoff situation. They've clinched tonight. They're third in the East as of right now. They do need help, and frankly, quite a bit of help if they are to get the number one seed in the East. Here's what it would take. Atlanta United needs to, let's assume they win out, and that might be what it requires. New York City needs to lose a match other than the match they play to Atlanta. Obviously, if Atlanta United wins out, they will beat New York City. New York City's other three matches are at Dallas, at New England, and at Philadelphia. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Could see them maybe losing one of those.
Mm-hmm.
Philadelphia would need to drop points in one match. They end at Red Bulls, at San Jose, at Columbus, and home to New York City.
At San Jose, tricky.
I see a couple tricky games there,
to be
totally honest with you. So I think the point we're trying to make is, yeah, it might be low percentage to assume that Atlanta United can win out, but they've gone on five-match winning streaks a couple times this year. I don't really think that it is a lock. Certainly, New York City and Philadelphia cannot win out because they play each other. I don't think this is done for New York City. I really don't, because three of their final four matches are on the road. So Atlanta United doesn't control their own destiny right now, but it's not like they need unrealistic help to get to where they want to be.
Yep. Atlanta's got to take care of their own business. Don't even look at the table anymore. Take care of the games in front of you starting on Wednesday. The performance has to be better on Wednesday. It has to be more organized. It has to be more in sync than we saw tonight.
Okay, let's get to your questions and your comments on Twitter. Thank you for sending them all in tonight. John Roper says, disappointing game. The back line showed big holes without Leandro Gonzalez-Perez. Hurts to lose to Columbus again. Brush off the dust and head out to Cincinnati.
That yellow card in Philadelphia that Leandro Gonzalez-Perez picked up when he didn't need to because that game was done, that hurt you in a big way tonight because there was no organization between the back three.
Ed Million, absolute shocker of a match tonight, but I had some concerns about it coming into this one. As much as the rest was needed, Atlanta is such a rhythm team that the time off seems to bite us. Would love the stats on Atlanta games following a break. We got into that earlier. It's not that good this year.
No, it's not that good in general. It's been that way in the past, too. The thing I would say is I don't know if I'd go absolute shocker because Columbus has only lost one of their last nine.
Yeah.
They have been a team that's been difficult to beat. I didn't expect them to score three times in this. I thought they'd get one. I didn't think they'd get three.
At Saturnus says, it kills me that Miles' amazing performance this year will be condensed into that own goal by the fans. I don't agree with that at all.
I don't think it will. No. I think it'll be forgotten pretty quickly. There's really not much he can do. He's got somebody behind him in Argudo. He's got to make a play on it. He's just unable to turn it wide.
By the way, Miles, that was a heck of a shot. Got to say. I mean, if you're going to score an own goal, it might as well be an own golazo, right? Like, kind of falling across your body to beat a diving Brad Guzan. I mean, let's give the guy a little bit of credit,
right?
It's not bad.
Ricky
Ricardo certainly felt not having Barco and LGP tonight. Given the circumstances, I don't see how we can view this any more than a disappointment.
I want to get into something about the Barco side of it. The midfield trio tonight of Remedy, Nagby, and Heineman, when that trio is played together, I think at times it becomes all too similar with the three of them, and the definition between the three gets lost. When Barco's in, it's obviously defined because he will be in front of the other two midfielders. He will be more of a part of the front line as opposed to the midfield. If Jeff Larinowicz is in, he can get forward from time to time, but he's going to sit and protect the back three more. Remedy, Nagby, Heineman are all very similar in the way that they play, sometimes maybe a little too similar.
Trombone Steve says, Columbus didn't look that good, but we looked worse. Sloppy passing and decision-making. Says, Atlanta looked flat-footed, so how do we run to the cup from here? This was a rested team. Are we that accustomed to being tired?
No, I don't think the tired issue is part of it. I think the lack of rhythm and match sharpness was an issue tonight. I think that showed. I didn't think Columbus was bad. I thought Columbus defensively was very good in the final third, in their defensive third, and they were lethal on the counter. That's not what I can't afford to do. You can't afford to lose that patience in the build-up play. You can't afford to risk things too much. We talked about it with a ball from Rometty that opened up an opportunity down the right for Columbus. When you get too impatient and you don't build up the play properly and you don't get everyone organized when they step forward, there's gaps. And when there's gaps, you're going to get hurt. Columbus punished those gaps consistently tonight. Atlanta has to be more organized both off the ball but in possession too, because if you're not organized in your possession and you have a bad turnover, you're going to get hit on the break.
David Powell thought that Florentin Pogba struggled with distribution and Pitti fell in love with the chip across to Miram. Why do we struggle against this team?
Pitti had one bad ball across to Miram that didn't get there. I don't think it really led to a whole lot. But Pitti was trying to force it a little bit late because he's trying to make something happen. Nobody else really was seemingly able to do it. I thought Pogba had a few good balls down the line. I thought Pogba defensively struggled. It was maybe his worst game defensively with the first team.
Scott Moore, where the heck has that been from Columbus this year? They looked dangerous all night. We had moments, but the execution and tactics from Columbus showed through on this one, unfortunately.
It's been building. I mean, for Columbus, go back to Eloy Room coming into this team, and they've lost one time. You know, they had four draws out of the last six, one win, one loss, and four draws. But they've been a difficult team to beat, and you have to credit them defensively. I thought leaving Will Trapp out was a risky move by Caleb Porter coming in. But with Guzman and Artur, both two guys who are maybe a little more comfortable sitting deeper. Artur can run a little more and cover a little more ground. Guzman's going to sit and protect the back four. They were pretty organized defensively, and they were able to kind of soak up some of Atlanta's pressure, get them to force some things, and then get out on the break. They added that element that we hadn't seen much of from Columbus. And honestly, when you get, for one of the first times since they've all joined the team, Mokhtar on one side and Diaz on the other, playing with Santos in the middle, you're going to look better, and Columbus did tonight.
Sean Vergara says, Atlanta United looked like Cincinnati tonight. I think that's a little harsh.
No, they didn't look like that.
But he says, pumping in hopeless crosses, sloppy passing, and a lack of a killer mentality to a lesser opponent. So what are some of the things that need to be cleaned up?
I think what Sean was referring to was Atlanta looked like their performance against Cincinnati, and I don't think that's the case. I don't think they were as lifeless as that. But they weren't sharp. It's difference between Philadelphia, they looked tired and they weren't sharp. Here they just weren't sharp and they weren't good enough and they didn't find a way to play through it. And Frank DeBoer mentioned it. He wasn't happy with a couple training sessions. He wasn't happy with how they had control of the game even after the goal here. What they have to do, I think they have to have that patience in their build-up, because if you don't, for this team, if you're going to play a 3-5-2 the way that they do, you're on the edge already. You're starting on the edge. And if you're not patient, you're going to leave your three center backs exposed. And we mentioned it throughout the match tonight. Franco Escobar was stepping up into the midfield a lot. Sometimes it was Florentin Pogba stepping up. So it was turning a back three into a back two. You combine that with the midfield. Without a true defensive midfielder sitting in front and being patient and staying there, you've got holes in the middle of the field. Pedro Santos was running through those consistently. When they didn't have that hole, they played Jossie Zardes, and Jossie Zardes was able to hold the ball up and then play Santos or Diaz or Mokhtar. Atlanta has to be patient. They have to be organized, and I think their midfield has to have more definition. And if Barco's not in there, I think Jeff has to be, because that provides the definition from a defensive standpoint, and you just feel more secure.
Well, I do not believe Barco will be in there, at least to start Wednesday night in Cincinnati, so we'll get into all of that and the implications. For now, what becomes an even more critical match for Atlanta United. There was no margin for error coming into this match, and now there's really no margin for error, because now you need other people to help you out. 3-1, they lose to Columbus tonight. We'll wrap up the full-time report in a moment here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Full-time! This is the full-time report
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
All right, wrapping things up here in Mercedes-Benz Stadium, as they have already deleted the soccer lines from the pitch, and now the grounds crew assembling the goalposts and starting to paint the football lines on the field where the Falcons will host the Philadelphia Eagles tomorrow night at 8:20 here on Sports Radio 92.9. The game kickoff at 6:20. As for Atlanta United, busy stretch continues now. They'll do a regen tomorrow, full day of training on Monday. Tuesday, travel up to Cincinnati, and on Wednesday, we'll make our first trip up to Nippert Stadium, where Atlanta United will face one of the two teams in this league that they still have yet to beat, FC Cincinnati. That was the team against which Atlanta United played, in our opinion, their worst match of the season.
Chicago will be in that conversation too, but it was a weird one because of the way it started. This is something that I think Atlanta United has to come out on Wednesday with an intensity that we haven't seen here in a little bit. I think, honestly, Atlanta United has to hit the training ground on Monday with their most intense session of the year. I think that's needed to kind of snap them out of this. And it's one of those that, yeah, you do worry about, you know, you don't want to push guys too hard. You don't want to see injuries happen, but you need some intensity and you need some people getting into one another a little bit on Monday to snap out of this, because it felt like after that early goal, Atlanta relaxed way too much and Columbus was the better team. Cincinnati's going to be feeling themselves pretty good after a big win in Montreal where they scored the second or the earliest goal. It's tied for the earliest goal
in MLS history. Alan Cruz, 28 seconds into the match, and then Kendall Waston got sent off late, and they held on through, I think, like 9 added minutes to get the 1-0 win over Montreal. Montreal in desperate straits right now trying to get a playoff berth. So that was a huge, huge win for Cincinnati. Never easy winning on the road, especially this year for Atlanta United. They've been, frankly, awful on the road for long stretches of this year in MLS play. Not in all competitions, but in league play, it's been a big problem. So we'll see Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, Five Stripes countdown from Cincinnati. 7:30 will be the kickoff. Jason and I really looking forward to seeing the vibe at Nippert. It's been a good year for them from a standpoint of attendance, and it's a great city for this league. We're looking forward to going there.
This game has an increased importance now. This was one that you thought, well, maybe Atlanta can rotate a little bit and they can start to look ahead to San Jose coming to town next weekend. Not anymore. 3 points are a must, and it has to be a good 3 points as well.
Okay, for our producer, Dylan Matthews, for our on-site engineer, Miller Pope. Oh, it's been a tough day for Miller. Tough, tough day for Miller. Better luck tomorrow. And for Jason Longshore, I'm Mike Conti. Once again, Columbus Crew, 3-1 winners over Atlanta United. We'll see you Wednesday night from Cincinnati here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
You've been listening to MLS action of our Atlanta United. Tune in for complete match day coverage all season long.
Atlanta United are brought to you by Piedmont Quick Care. One stop to better. Country Financial. Don't get overwhelmed. Get started at TakeSimpleSteps.com. Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing. Heineken, Aaron's, the perfect choice for your budget and style with top brands in furniture, electronics, and appliances. Scana, the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. AT&T, more for your thing. That's our thing. Associated Credit Union, Equifax, proud partner of your Atlanta United. And your local Ford dealer.
The home for our Atlanta United is Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.